This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a unique celebration of the arts, a new season of bold theater, or relief from the heat with an arts twist. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Arts Happy Hour, known as Culture Collision, kicks off its 11th celebration in the Arts District. It's a unique opportunity to get a heads up on offerings by the city's top nonprofit arts groups. It is sponsored by the Hellis Foundation and hosted by WWNO. Jamita Youngblood, WWNO's business manager and spokeswoman, joins us with details. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
Doing pretty good today. This is a big assignment for you. This is your first time doing Culture Collision?
Yes, it is. I have been tasked with this event this year, and I'm super excited to be taking this on for the first time. So I'm so grateful to Janet Wilson and Jess Savello for laying out the roadmap and the hard work that they've put in over the past 10 years to make this event happen.
This is an arts party that quickly took root in our community. What is the purpose of getting these organizations together under one roof?
Basically, it's a kickoff to the cultural season. It's a time for all of the organizations to come together and talk about themselves, what they have for the upcoming season. And it's a time for them to network with their peers as well as meet their customers. We have a lot of attendees that come to this event every year, and they get a firsthand look at what's coming up in the cultural season. And there's no other event like this that I know of that's going on in the city. I've heard from a lot of the attendees of this event, as well as the organizations themselves, and they appreciate the event and what it does for them. Being able to have that firsthand look to know that I can go into this particular event on this day every year and find out this is what I have to look forward to this cultural season. You get to see the faces and you get to meet the audience and the participants. So it's something that's exciting for the community.
Culture Collision has been held in several venues over the years. Where does it take place this year? Who's presenting?
We are at the Ogden Museum of Southern Art. It's going to have a different feel to it because this year we've gone vertical.
Oh my.
So we will be in Ogden's atrium. We're going to be in their Patrick Taylor Library. And we're also going to be on the third, fourth, and fifth floor of the museum. And just for anybody who's wondering, we will be on the rooftop terrace at the Ogden Museum.
Five floors and the rooftop?
Yes.
Wow.
It's going to be exciting.
How many organizations are participating this year?
We have 60 plus organizations that are participating. I've been in contact with most, if not all of them, within the past few weeks. I can't wait to see this thing come together on the 28th and just see everybody and collide with culture.
Tell us what we can look forward to. There'll be some groups that are performing?
Yes. So we definitely wanted to make sure that we had the pop-up performances this year. And I'm grateful to four organizations in particular who stepped up. We're going to have the Victory Bells. They're going to be doing three-part harmonies of World War II era classics. Then we're going to have Melange Dance Company. They're going to be doing a performance of All My Heart from Love Letters of World War II. Following that will be the New Orleans Ballet Association. They're going to do a performance of Allegua. And last but certainly not least, we're going to have Le Petit Theater, and they're going to be doing A Night with Janis Joplin. It's exciting.
It is exciting. What does the success of this event say about the city's arts community?
I think it speaks to the importance of the arts in this city. New Orleans is one of those cities that speaks to jazz and music, and there's movement and there's artistry. And I don't think you can go anywhere in the city without running into art. And to have an event like this that basically brings it all in one place at one time, and you get to feel that energy. And so I think the success of this event, and to say that it's been going on for 11 years now, really speaks to how important art is in this city, and that we need to continue these traditions and we need to continue to invest in the arts in our community.
WWNO's business manager and Culture Coalition spokeswoman, Jamita Youngblood, thanks so much.
Thanks, Diane.
Culture Collision 11 takes place next Wednesday evening, August 28th, from 5:30 until 8 at the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, 925 Camp Street. It is free and open to the public. The NOLA Project, also known as Theater for the Bold, is celebrating a milestone as it kicks off its 15th anniversary season. The innovative theater company is presenting four works, including three world premieres. Artistic director A.J. Allegra joins us. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
In 15 years, the NOLA Project has become a major player on the theater scene. How did it happen, and what are your thoughts on the company's success?
It's incredible that we've achieved 15 years of success, considering that theater companies are a lot like rock bands. And if you can get to 7 years, I think you're considered a success without breaking up. We started very much as a project back in 2005. You know, we were all in college at New York University, and our original artistic director, Andrew Larimer, came up with the idea to come to his hometown of New Orleans for the summer and produce one play. And that summer happened to be the fortuitous or the unfortuitous summer of Katrina. So our very first production ran for 2 weeks. And, you know, many of us that were not from the Gulf South experienced our first hurricane as the biggest one that we will hopefully ever experience.
Yeah.
And I guess that that experience in a way strengthened the resolve to return the following summer. And thereafter strengthened our resolve to be in New Orleans and produce things for the community that were exciting, that we're effective. I think that our company generally likes to produce work, like we say, that is bold, that's provocative, that's funny, that has kind of a raw sense of humor, that's irreverent. So over the years, we just kept adding to our numbers in terms of the artists that we worked with. While we started off with about 9 New York University students, over the years, we've added more and more local artists that we've come to love to work with that are New Orleans based. And now the company has a total of 36 artists.
Wow.
And a board of directors that this year is 20 members. So I can't believe the size that we've achieved.
You have a lot to be proud of. What would you say has been your biggest contribution to date to the company?
Our partnership with the New Orleans Museum of Art is easily one of the things I'm most proud of. Getting to work in such a unique space as a museum that is a 100-year-old kind of temple that New Orleanians have known and loved for years and the best park in the country is such an iconic way for us to present theater. It's so special every time we get to rehearse there and perform there. And the museum has just been such a wonderful partner. I mean, the amount of trust and encouragement that they've given a small organization like ours is really incredible.
And we're talking specifically about the Bestoff Sculpture Garden and the Great Hall at NOMA.
That's right. And so we started off in 2011 with the idea to perform an outdoor production of A Midsummer Night's Dream in the Bestoff Sculpture Garden. And I went to the museum and I made my pitch and I said, well, we have two ideas. We could either do A Midsummer Night's Dream out in the Bestoff Sculpture Garden, or we could present Romeo and Juliet inside the Great Hall because they have that wonderful balcony. We
yeah.
actually have a real balcony scene. And to my delight and surprise, the museum said, well, why don't we try both? And so they said, why don't we start off with A Midsummer and then we'll pull it inside the Great Hall later on in the year. And all of a sudden, we were off to the races. And I'm so excited now because they've doubled the size of the sculpture garden and they've added an amphitheater into the new portion of the sculpture garden, which I would encourage everyone to go out and see. It's free. It's open every day. It's beautiful. And I think that the amphitheater is a lot in part because of the work that we've done with the museum. I think that, you know, we perform in a space that is not necessarily designed or constructed in any way for theater, but that was taken into consideration when they expanded the garden and then put in this amphitheater as a place for us and other organizations and other music groups and events to have a space to present to a public. And I think it's lovely. I know that the future plans for the museum involve a renovation of the auditorium. And it's a place that just keeps growing and expanding in terms of the opportunities to present performative work.
So now you have twice as much room to play around.
Exactly. It's like a playground that just doubled.
What was the inspiration for this new season?
Adventure. We've themed the season as This Way to Adventure because all four of the stories have tremendous life and death stakes and are very fun in a way that a great adventure story is. I think we frequently pick out the show that we want to present in the garden first, and I usually find myself drifting into a Barnes & Noble and going to the classic lit section and looking through the classic stories that I think would be, you know, fun to adapt for the stage. And so this year, the title I landed on was Treasure Island, which I recall reading as a young boy, and I hadn't read since. And so I reread it, and I said, you know, we've got to find a way to adapt this, especially considering that the new amphitheater in the Best of Sculpture Garden is built right out on the lagoon. So your backdrop is this beautiful vista of water. And I thought a water-based story would be great. And then I read Treasure Island. And then, you know, the other shows kind of fell into place from there. We knew we wanted to do a Shakespeare show. And we wanted to do one of the lesser-performed Shakespeare shows and something that really spoke to our time. So we've picked Measure for Measure, which I think is, you know, incredibly timely considering the Me Too movement and our current culture of political corruption. Although that seems like it's pretty much a constant culture of political corruption. It's practically a tradition. And then we found this great play, Harry and the Thief, which is a kind of time travel epic meets the Underground Railroad. And then we've always wanted to do some sort of adaptation of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow outside during Halloween season.
Now, getting back to the Shakespeare work, Measure for Measure, this one is a little different as you have a modern translation?
Yes. Our Measure for Measure production is a part of a national project called Play on Shakespeare, in which the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is probably the nation's premier Shakespeare presenting festival, commissioned 36 playwrights and paired them each with a dramaturg to take each one of Shakespeare's plays and, I say in quotes, to translate them for the modern ear. It's about taking the excessively antiquated language in a lot of Shakespeare's plays and putting in just adjusted language. And these playwrights are doing it with the utmost care and respect. You know, I don't want to give the impression they're throwing Shakespeare in the trash and rewriting the plays as they want. They're maintaining iambic pentameter when it's an iambic pentameter. They're maintaining prose when it's in prose. But they're just taking it and they're updating it for the modern ear. And really what it does is it makes the pieces accessible. That is, for me, a prime goal in any Shakespeare production. We want Shakespeare to remain fun, to remain accessible. Because the worst thing is when people avoid Shakespeare because they had a bad experience with it, reading it in high school. I want to throw that away. I want people to come out and experience live Shakespeare the way that people did in the 1600s when it was first presented.
AJ, what is your vision for the future of the NOLA Project?
I'd like to imagine that the NOLA Project, of course, grows in size. We would love to have a full-time staff. I would love to see us be fully a part of the New Orleans Museum of Art. You know, right now we have this partnership with them. And I will say that we're working in a lot of effective ways towards growing that partnership. This is the first year that we've done 3 shows at the museum. But I would love to, you know, have an official in residency there, because that's a unique thing. To my knowledge, there is no theater organization that is a partnered with a primarily visual arts establishment like that in the entire nation. And so we would be a first. And we've already provided the model for a lot of other visual arts organizations partnering with performing groups in their communities. And so I think that we ought to capitalize on that uniqueness and continue growing that and see where it goes. I'm not necessarily sure if real estate is in the NOLA Project's future, because I think that a lot of millennials like me don't look at real estate, you know, brick and mortar, as a goal or as an equation to legitimacy. I think that our legitimacy comes in our unique ability to present work that is experiential. And we know now that people, especially younger people, value experience more than things. We hear about that every Christmas when they talk about, you know, what people are buying or spending money on. Is people want experiences more than they necessarily want to collect things nowadays. And so I think as a theater company, we ought to reflect that and provide people with the most unique experience that they can possibly have.
Artistic Director A.J. Allegra, it's always a pleasure talking with you.
It is always a pleasure talking to you.
The NOLA Project kicks off its 15th anniversary season in the Great Hall of the New Orleans Museum of Art with Shakespeare's Measure for Measure beginning September 10th. More info on the season can be found online at nolaproject.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Are you looking for some relief from the dog days of summer? Well, a cool respite is as close as your local art museum. Yes, the Hellis Foundation is continuing its Art and AC event at the city's three largest art museums, offering free admission this month when temperatures hit 95 degrees. The New Orleans Museum of Art, NOMA, is one of the participating museums. Margot Crane, NOMA's Director of Brand and Communications, joins us. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. Thank you.
This is the third year that the Hellis Foundation is sponsoring this culturally rich cool down. How did the idea for Art and AC come about, and just how does it work?
Well, there are a number of cultural institutions in the city that work with the Hellis Foundation throughout the year. As most people in New Orleans probably know, the Hellis Foundation underwrites all of the free days at New Orleans Museum of Art, the Ogden Contemporary Arts Center, and Botanical Gardens. And so all of us kind of get together throughout the year and brainstorm these fun ideas. And so that's kind of how this came up 3 years ago. It was a huge hit the first year, and we've been going with it ever since. The way that it works is we partner with Fox 8. Their meteorologist, David Bernard, keeps a pretty close eye on the weather. And we all know that it gets really hot in August. And so he works closely with us and lets us know when the temperature hits 95 degrees. And the way that this works is when the temperature hits 95 degrees, the next day then would be free at all of the participating cultural institutions. So if today hits 95, that means tomorrow will be free at NOMA, at the Ogden, and the CAC.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What has been its success over the past 2 years?
I think people really appreciate being welcomed into the museum when it's so hot outside and having something really fun, cultural, educational to do in the summer. Kids are off school. They're looking for something to do with the families. They're looking for an excuse to go inside. And at NOMA, we often joke around that it's the coldest place in the city year-round. We have to keep it at a certain temperature, of course, to protect the collection. And so it is always air-conditioned, and it's a very welcome respite from the heat in August.
What's the foot traffic like with this particular event?
So with this particular event, it definitely increases our visitorship. As I mentioned, we have free days every Wednesday. So an average free Wednesday, we usually get between 500 and 600 visitors at NOMA. On the first free Wednesday in August for Art and AC, it actually fell on a Wednesday, so that may have amplified the visitorship even more. But we got over 800 visitors that day. And so we already have great visitation, but this definitely increases it. I think that it just adds additional awareness around the fact that we're free, and people love to use any excuse to really head to the museum.
We're in mid-August now. How has it been going so far?
It's been a hot one. It's been really hot. We've had about 7 free days. I think it's just going to keep going. The rain that we've been getting has not really been, you know, squashing that heat at all. So I think that we've had more free days this month than we have in the past when we've done this promotion. So I don't know what that says about the weather.
It's hot. It's too darn hot.
Yeah, we anticipate this being the month that we've had the most free days, you know, for the Art and AC promotion yet.
Now, what can visitors expect when they visit NOMA this month?
Thank you for asking. We have so much going on at NOMA, as always. Our main special exhibition right now is called Bodies of Knowledge, and it brings together 11 international contemporary artists to reflect on the role that language plays in defining our cultural identities. And so they are doing this through a lot of different materials ways. Materials range from books and silent film to ink and musical scores. And so it just gives visitors a way to kind of explore how these international artists are using these forums to reshape narratives about their own histories. So really cool global exhibition.
And we have a few new exhibitions that just opened, actually, so it aligns really well with Art in AC. We have an exhibition called An Ideal Unity, which celebrates the centennial of the Bauhaus, which was the innovative German school that integrated fine art and design. We have an exhibition in our African galleries called Ancestors in Stone, which is a small focus exhibition that centers around a recently acquired Aquanchi monolith from the Cross Rivers region of Nigeria, which really showcases stone as a material used in ancestral veneration among West African cultures. We're really excited that we recently acquired that piece, and this is a great way to showcase it to new audiences. And lastly, the quilts of G's Bend. I think a lot of art enthusiasts know about G's Bend quilts. So this exhibition features five extraordinary 20th century quilts made by the women of G's Bend, Alabama, who really took this traditional way of quilting and elevated it with bold geometric shapes and this really fiercely independent design process that's very specific to this region. So we're very thrilled to have that.
That's a lot going
on. It's a lot.
Yeah. What would you say, Margot, is the overall goal of this project?
Overall goal of this project is to introduce art to new audiences and create additional points of access for the community of New Orleans. We want everybody to feel welcome at NoMA and at all of the participating arts institutions. It's very important to us. We want everybody to be able to access art. And so the goal with this and with the free days throughout the year is to just be open and welcome and let people come in, hope that they come in and experience what we have to offer at the museum.
It sounds like a win-win event for artists, museums, and art lovers.
It does, and it is, and it has been, and it will continue to be.
Margot Crane, NoMA's Director of Brand and Communications, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
The Helles Foundation's Art in AC event runs through August 31st at the New Orleans Museum of Art, Contemporary Art Center, and the Ogden Museum of Southern Art. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theater. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.